The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Thursday edition of the Leach Report. Happy to have you on board with us for the next hour to talk UK sports leading up to the matchup with the 14th-ranked Mississippi State Bulldogs on Saturday night. We'll talk about that today with Justin Rowland from the Rivals Network, CatsIllustrated.com. We'll talk with Mike Pratt, a little football, a little basketball as well. Chris Dortch from the Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook will join us as they named Kentucky their preseason number one team this week. So we'll get Chris's take on the Basketball Cats. That's our guest lineup, and it's presented by Sleep Outfitters. Wildcat News of the Day, a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. That's a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. And the Wildcats picked up a recruiting commitment yesterday out of Springfield, Ohio. Big defensive tackle. Those are always great to get. This is a three-star commitment from Springfield, Ohio. His name is Isaiah Gibson. Big guy, about 300 pounds, and 6'4", picked Kentucky over Wisconsin and Purdue. He played for former Wildcat Maurice Douglas there at Springfield High School, and Mo's son is also committed to play for the Cats. So a big get for the Wildcats. And a Yahtzee that was being tweeted out yesterday. Mark Stoops had a Yahtzee tweet and others. So a big score in the recruiting battles for Kentucky. The one that everybody around these parts is waiting for is Wandale Robinson. Ben Roberts, who was with us earlier this week, has a story up at KentuckySports.com about the young man from Western Hills and his recruitment, and how close he's getting to Vince Mero. So a lot of things sound good for Kentucky. We'll see how it plays out here before too long, because he has said, Robinson has, that he's going to make an announcement sometime in October. Yesterday, defense did interviews with the media, coordinator Matt House and players, including Cash Daniel, who one of the first things he talked about was the deal today that's going on in Paintsville, a flash sale of tickets. It's cash only for these tickets in Paintsville. You can get them for $10 at 4 o'clock, starting at 4 o'clock today at the Paintsville Walmart. It's part of a push to get the stadium sold out. They've got a new company they're working with to help move unsold tickets, and it's an issue that schools and pro teams all over the country are dealing with. So they're trying to get creative in how they're doing this. So this is one thing they're doing, and Cash was very excited about it yesterday.
You know, it was good that, you know, the University of Kentucky was good enough, you know, to go back to my hometown and was able to do this for those people, because I know a lot of people, you know, want to come watch us play, especially watch me play and, you know, stuff like that. So for them to go down and, you know, reduce the price, you know, a pretty hefty amount for them, you know, is really awfully nice, and I can't thank them enough. And, you know, I really hope that a lot of people turn out, you know, to buy those tickets and, you know, come watch us play Saturday.
Playing a quarterback like Fitzgerald, it's got to pose some challenges, but also it's kind of fun to play against a guy that challenges you like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is my first time ever playing against a kid, so, you know, I'm really excited to play. I've watched him play for 2 years and, you know, read everything about him and, you know, watched him play on sport. He's an unbelievable athlete, you know, and you know, I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Since you guys are going to be gap sound, have you been in that area through 2-3 games?
I think we've been fairly well with that. You know, I think our discipline's really well with how we approach practice, and it all becomes in our preparation. If we're gap sound on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're going to be gap sound on Saturday. So it's all about, you know, how we prepare, you know, throughout the week and then going out and executing on Saturdays.
It's Cash Daniel, and again, it's $10 tickets today. It is cash only, so you have to have – you have to have your $10 bill when you walk up there. There's a limit of 20 tickets per person, and it starts at 4 o'clock at the Paintsville Walmart on Mayo Trail, and lasts until 7 o'clock or while supplies last. There's also a special reduced price sale for teachers this week. teachers and a guest can buy tickets for $26. You can find out about all this at ukathletics.com. Almost all of the tip times are now set for UK basketball, as they released a schedule yesterday, the SEC did, of all the game times of the conference games. Still no time set for UK U of L. Only four of the 9 p.m. tips. If you're like me, you're like Pratt, we look at that first. Two home, two on the road of those 9 p.m. tips. The day before Thanksgiving game against Winthrop, that's going to be a 1 o'clock start. So I think folks will like that. Women's soccer, Florida's at Kentucky tonight. 7:30 is the tip time, or is the start time there. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, and we are served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And when we come back, Mike Pratt joins the program.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Mike Pratt joins the program. His weekly visits presented by Boone's Butcher Shop in Bardstown. Check them out at boonesbutchershop.com. Mike, if you could have convinced your Browns to draft Austin McGinnis, they might be 2-0 right now.
Man, I tell you what. I watched, they had the end of the Steelers game, and wow, shoof, did we give one away there, and really did down in New Orleans, too. Of course, that guy stepped up and knocked it through at the end, but hey, little baby steps for the pumpkin heads, little baby steps.
They are better. Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Well, the Wildcats are a lot better, too. You coming up for the game Saturday?
No, I'm going to be in Charlotte, where I'm in Charlotte. My grandbaby's birthday this week. And
congratulations.
Yeah. We're celebrating and been down here. We got a lot of rain last weekend, but not much wind. It's beautiful. It's hot today. But I'll be listening to you. We'll have you on the radio and watching the game on TV as usual when we're not there. So
maybe watching a Chuck E. Cheese or something.
No. No, can't do that. That's too much interference in the ball game. They're all fans too, man. They're all fans. They don't want to miss anything.
Good. This is a big opportunity. It's not a do or die thing where, you know, if they don't get it, then they can't accomplish what they wanted to. But you know, if we've talked about this a lot this week, this is the kind of game where if you get this one, then, you know, fans love to have their team talked about, and that starts to happen, and you get a lot of buzz created. It's great for recruiting, and I was amazed this week when I found the stat. It would be the first time Kentucky's been 2-0 in conference play since 1977.
Well, yeah, that was a heck of a team back then, Derek.
Yeah,
and, Derek Ramsey, and man, they had Art Still. I mean, that was a hell of a football team. And next three are pretty tough games now, and a Big Mo should certainly be on the Cat side Saturday night. Certainly be on their side. Look, you just got to step up and take your best shot and see where it falls. And you and I have talked before on basketball; football's no different. Whatever happens, you can't get too high off a W. You can't get too low off a loss. You got two more really tough games and the rest of the schedule. So. Let's make this thing a confidence builder, whether it's a W or an L, and then you got to play the next week. So Cats are right in the middle of it, man. It's a tough stretch now, but it's a tough schedule.
The honorary captain this week is Sonny Collins, who will be out there for the coin toss, and the guy that Benny's chasing as far as the all-time rushing mark. Sonny came along just after you finished up, right?
Right, yeah. He was... He was out of Madisonville, and I remember watching him run. I missed some of the end of his career being in Charlotte, but saw the first part. Quite a runner, quite an exciting runner. I mean, the guy, if you were in the seats, which then TV wasn't as big a deal, man, you got excited when Sonny touched the ball. I enjoyed watching Sonny run the thing.
They ran the Veer offense at that time when Coach Kersey got here in 73 in Sonny's second year. That's when he really took off, but they'd have They call it split back veer. So two guys just lined up split backs behind the quarterback under center, and then it was, you know, an option play from there. And they'd break invariably that, you know, they'd break off a big run with the right read with Sonny. A lot of times it was just up the middle, but he was explosive.
Sonny left, Sonny right, Sonny up the middle.
Benny Snell's a guy from Westerville, Ohio, from your home state, yeah, and chasing the record. He's also pretty soon going to knock off Randall Cobb's all-time touchdown record. I think he's got two to tie, three to break it. And Randall put out a tweet yesterday saying something to the effect of records are made to be broken and go get it 26. And that was neat to see.
Well, we saw it with Jody Meeks and Dan's points.
Yes.
And then he broke a point record I had at Freedom Hall, and we all were happy for him. We're excited for Jody and excited for anybody who breaks a record. It means then good things are happening, either or to the team and the individual. But hey, you know, it's all about pulling for your alma mater when you're gone.
This is Hall of Fame weekend for Kentucky, and Anthony Davis is going into the Hall of Fame. I know we've talked before about how much fun it was to just watch him grow from week to week. Talk a little bit about what stands out about Anthony in terms of memories for you.
Well, I mean, everybody goes to that block against Carolina, right?
Right.
But boy, he had a terrific Final Four, and it wasn't about scoring points. It was about blocking shots, rebounding, defending. I mean, he made his presence felt, and he didn't have to have the ball. And in this day and age, guys that you don't have to run your offense through, particularly in college, are invaluable. And I remember AD as a guy that just was a difference maker without the ball, and he grew into being a difference maker with the ball. He was so much fun to watch, wasn't he?
He was, and you know, he's a good example of what the difference between being really good and being great or exceptional is. You know, he had just raw talent where he was catching lobs and blocking shots from the outset, but you know, he, with the work he put in, you know, you know, sometimes people question how much better players get in just 1 year at a school, whether it's Kentucky or someplace else. And he was a good example of somebody who got a lot better over the course of his year.
Well, and what I liked a lot about AD was when I was a kid watching Jim Brown and the Pumpkinheads, and Jim Brown carried the ball so many times, he got knocked down, you know, just got up, went back to the huddle. Okay, got his job done, basically told him, hey, if you can do it again, have at it, but I'm continue to play. At Oscar Robertson, the same way at Cincinnati during those times. Havlicek and Lucas at Ohio State, those guys just played. Wasn't any yapping, wasn't any mm-hmm. dancing or anything else. And I really liked that. AD was that way. I think sometimes when you just do your job, that hacks off your opponent more than anything because they can't stop you and you keep doing what you're doing and just look at them and smile. I think it hacks them off more than people think.
Yeah, there's a little of that in Benny Snell too. I mean, he's
there is.
But
right.
I mean, he's not a real, you know, trying to show anybody up when he's out there. He's just trying to run you over, and he's going to get up and do it again.
Yeah. He looks at you, goes back to the hole, and says, "Okay, you know, you can't stop me. I know it. I'm going to do it again."
Yeah, Anthony was a lot of fun to watch as that season unfolded. It was a real, you know, he was the, you know, won everything, and best single season, I think, certainly in Kentucky basketball history, and yet he was very much a part of the team.
That team was full of really confident leaders, a lot of guys that, starting with Darius Miller. I mean, mm-hmm. just a lot of guys that were leaders, and they led in their own way. They led it in different ways. And I think that's what made that team so good, and a willingness to share at both ends of the floor. I think that's what made that team so good. And when I look at this team, Tom,
I was just going to go there with you.
We'll have a lot of time to talk about this. This team has some of the bare bones of that. The ability to understand each other, understand the other teammates' strengths, and to play to those, and we'll see how that develops. But I like that about this team.
Yeah, I was just going to take you there because to see if you thought that too, that there's a lot of leadership driven types. It seems like in this group.
Yeah, it really does, and we'll see. Right now, everything is beautiful. Everything is perfect. And as time tells, the test of time is when times get tough. And yeah. How you respond to that collectively and individually. So I liked what I saw in the Bahamas, but we'll see. And you like that about this football team. The first half against Central Michigan wasn't something to write home about. They went out and changed that by playing better, and they've played better every step of the way. This game will challenge them. I think Mississippi State will challenge them because they're so good. And we'll see how they respond. I mean, Florida did it, and they responded well.
Mike Pratt, thank you, sir.
Okay, buddy. Good luck this weekend. We'll be pulling.
Thank you. Safe travels to you. At Mike Pratt 22 on Twitter. And, he makes a point about multiple leaders. I think you do see that on this Kentucky football team, it feels like right now. And I think back to the last best team probably was that 07 group, and you had really strong leaders there, and guys like Wesley Woodyard and Keenan Burton, who were probably more vocal about it, and some more quieter leaders as well. So a lot of good indicators right now if you're a Kentucky football fan. We'll see how it all translates out onto the field on Saturday. Heading to a break. When we come back, Chris Dortch will join us. Talk about his publication, Naming Kentucky. It's preseason number one for the upcoming college basketball season. A little later, we'll talk Kentucky football with Justin Rowland of Cats Illustrated here on the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Bringing in Chris Dortch from the Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook, and I'm sure you're getting a lot of love on social media after naming the Cats your preseason number one, right?
Yeah, from Kentucky fans anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so funny. It's like Villanova fans are like, you don't give the defending national champion any respect. And I'm getting a lot of those tweets, and I'm like, I don't answer the negative ones, but I'm like, did you pay attention to the NBA draft?
Like, you see who's not there?
Starters. And the consensus player of the year, it's not the same team. I mean, I think it shows respect that we still rank them, because they were 21st. In our polls, so I have a lot of respect for Jay Wright. I think he transformed the game of basketball.
Who wouldn't? Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, Chris, hang on for a second. We've got coming up on a hard break at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back and continue this discussion. Tell folks how they can get signed up to get the Blue Ribbon Yearbook, blueribbonyearbook.com online to pre-order your copy. And we'll talk more about the preseason top 25 poll that has Kentucky on top with Chris Dortch when we come right back. It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Chris Dortch with us from the Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook here on the Leach Report. The yearbook's coming out soon. You can get the hard copy. You can get it to your iPad. Go to blueribbonyearbook.com to sign up. Chris, you picked Kentucky preseason number one. What pushed you in the direction of the Wildcats?
Well, I was talking to Jerry Tipton the other day, who's, other than you, in the media, has probably seen as much or more of this team than anybody in history, except for the great Kaywood Ledford. But he asked the same thing, and I said, well, it's pretty much easy. First of all, Cal is always going to sign, and Cal and his staff, they're always going to take four or five of the best players in the country. You know that's a given. Second of all, three sophomores that could start anywhere in the country. I think I could pretty much make that statement. Are back. They know the system. And then, you know, when they get Reed Travis as a grad transfer, that's almost illegal. I don't mean that in a literal sense, but as soon as that happened, I forget, you would know this. Who was the other school he was considering? Was it Villanova?
Villanova, yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe those Villanova fans wouldn't have been so mad at me on Twitter if he'd have gone there.
They'd have been ranked higher.
I'm sure I'd have picked him a little higher. But, no, when the other Wildcats, signed Reed Travis, to me that was a difference maker. And Jerry and I had a little nice little conversation on email, and he said when they were in the Bahamas, you know, that people thought that Reed looked like he was struggling, you know, and I mean, anybody, even a veteran player like that, is adapting to a new system, a new coach, a new teammates. But then Jerry looked at the final stats, and the kid had averaged a double-double. And I said, pretty much, I rest my case. As soon as he signed with Kentucky, I said, there's our number one. You know, we were considering Kansas. We were considering Duke. Some people even considered Gonzaga. And that was before they got this grad transfer named Gino Randall, a guard who I think will be a difference maker for them. But I just think the best teams that Cal's put on the floor, I mean, generally have had that leadership coming back, and then you add a guy like Reed Travis. I mean, there's no question, Tom, he would have been the preseason player of the year in the Pac-12. So you're taking the best player from another Power 5 conference and adding him to this embarrassment of riches that is already there, and I just think that was the difference maker for me.
You foresee a strong year, certainly, in the SEC. You've written about the league before, did a book about SEC basketball. You got Tennessee at 5, Auburn 8, Mississippi State at 11. LSU 18, Florida 20. So what's that, 6 in the top 20? That's strong.
Yeah, it is. A lot of people didn't put Florida up there, but for example, in their top 25s. But, you know, you get to looking at it. They lost Chris Chioza for sure. But they signed a freshman, Andrew Nembhard, that another Canadian kid. Kentucky fans know about those Canadian kids and how good they are, who's probably going to fill in at the point. But Kayvon Allen is back. Jalen Hudson is back. Those are two of the most potent scorers in the country. And then they've got Keith Stone and Kavarius Hayes, experienced bigs. You know, they've got depth, they've got size. So, and I think Mike White does a great job. So I put them in there. And Will Wade is fulfilling the prophecy that I had for him when I kind of spoke up for him to get his first job here at UT Chattanooga. I knew some people and asked them to consider him, and the more they did, the more they thought this guy could get it done. And sure enough, he turned that program around within a year. Within 2 years, he was gone, back to VCU. 2 years later, now he's making $2.5 or $3 million a year at LSU. So I don't think he gave me a cut of that yet. But
checks in the mail.
He's done a good job because he's so well connected. He's done a great job of recruiting, and it's kind of like I said in the Blue Ribbon article that I wrote on LSU. I'm looking up a little passage now. They got this kid, Javonte Smart. He's a freshman point guard. And I said, Wade called LSU basketball a, quote, sleeping giant when he took the job in the spring of 2017 because of the school's proximity to elite talent. And I said, Smart is a great example. I said, actually, he might be the best example. He's the only player in state history to win three consecutive Mr. Basketball Awards, three straight Gatorade Player of the Year Awards, and he led his team to three state titles, and the kid's from Baton Rouge. I mean, Louisiana is loaded with players like that. So I thought that Will could get those kind of guys, and he has. And then we haven't even talked about the teams that we haven't ranked yet. I think Tom Crean is going to do a great job at Georgia. I think that's another state that is filled with D1 talent. And like Mark Fox, he's going to do things the right way. There'll be no improprieties there in recruitment or anything else. But I think he hired two assistants that were that have strong Atlanta ties, and I think that blood is thicker than water. One of the assistants, his dad, Chad Dollar, coached in Atlanta, was a successful high school coach, and I think they'll get good players from that state. So there's yet another example. And then you go to Mississippi State, which we did rank, and they caught a huge break when four players came back from the NBA draft. And you look up and down their roster, and they're kids from either Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama. Our region is loaded with players. The problem was, for a while there, other than Kentucky, SEC schools weren't giving those kids a compelling reason to stay in the region and play ball. But now, and I don't think this is a passing fancy, the league has become I think taken its place where it should be for a variety of reasons. Suffice to say, basketball has become emphasized in the league just like football is.
You can go to BlueRibbonYearbook.com and order the 2018 edition for the hard copy, or get it sent to your iPad and get ready for the upcoming season. Chris Dortch, thank you much.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
At C. Dortch on Twitter, if you are not following Chris. By the way, Gary Parrish from CBS, a frequent guest on our show, starting a series of stories speculating on who will succeed Hall of Fame coaches like Cal. I'm sure he's got one coming up on Kay and Roy Williams and others. And he throws out names, but it's he makes the point. I think the more interesting thing probably for Kentucky fans is he thinks Cal might coach up to 10 more years. And he says if that's the case, it's hard to speculate on who'd succeed. And that's absolutely true. But I think that's probably the more interesting thing to Kentucky fans. Got to get to a break. Justin Rowland when we come back on the Leach Report.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Thursday edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And we welcome in Justin Rowland, who joins us on Thursdays from CatsIllustrated.com. Obviously, we'll start with the Kentucky-Mississippi State matchup. I know you guys with the rivals have struck a deal with Pro Football Focus across your sites to get some of their information. Really interesting analytics and data. Any particular nugget that jumps out from the analysis of this matchup from a statistical standpoint to you?
Yeah, there are a couple of things. Kentucky matches up well with Mississippi State if you go by the recruiting rankings, but also these teams are really like mirror images of each other in some respects. I would say most people would look at them on paper and the numbers and say Mississippi State is a little bit better in most categories, but in terms of what they do well, they're very similar. The other thing is Kentucky's big challenge is going to be slowing down this Mississippi State defensive line, and that shows up. Most of their top-graded defensive players are on the defensive front. When you really go down the list, you see the depth, not only Jeffrey Simmons and Montez Sweat, but just the depth of guys that they rotate in and out is very impressive.
You know, Kentucky's got guys in their offensive line. Logan Stenberg, I'm sure, has a lot of NFL attention. Bunchy Stallings would like to get it. Georgia Safo Jay, another senior. This is a little bit of and I don't think they'll be necessarily looking at it this way, but a little bit of a job interview given who they'll be going up against.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I thought the offensive line played one of the best games that I've ever seen a Kentucky offensive line play against Florida. You know, 303 rushing yards, one of the top 10 or 12 rushing teams in the country nationally. I think they're averaging like 10 yards per carry as a team running behind Logan Stenberg. But this is going to be a huge test. This is kind of like a pro or a senior bowl kind of test that some of these guys are going to get a chance at one day. I thought that they were lacking a little bit against Murray State, and that was probably just something we should have expected. Coming off that huge win, they had some penalties, but I suspect we'll see a better effort from them this week.
Yeah, better get it, because Kentucky's got to be able to run the ball. They don't have to dominate the stat like they did against Florida, but I was looking back at the rushing yard numbers in Dan Mullen's time at Mississippi State, and they pretty much dominated most years. The one game Kentucky won, it was about a draw, and if Kentucky can get somewhere close to even or get ahead, that's, I got to think, a big part of how they would win.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Benny Snell struggled against Mississippi State last year. I know he said this week that he's going to get his yards against everybody. Well, he's got to prove it this year. I think he will get his yards. I think the 11-point spread surprised me a little bit, because Mississippi State hasn't been in a close game. How are they going to react if it's the third quarter and it's like a 17-10 game? And Terry Wilson has over 200 yards rushing combined over the last 2 weeks. So we're talking about Nick Fitzgerald. Mississippi State fans are talking about how they're going to slow down Terry Wilson. It's a real question.
What are the key storylines to this game from the standpoint of the matchup that will determine the outcome, do you?
I would say Kentucky's offensive line has to play at the level that it played against Florida, and that's a high level, that's a high bar. But I think Mississippi State's defensive line is the single best unit that Kentucky is going to face all season long. And that's saying something. Georgia's receivers, Missouri's receivers, this is the best unit, period, that they'll see all season. So they got to be good up front. I think the penalties and the turnovers have to come down. Too many penalties and turnovers on the season. They've survived it so far. I don't think they'll survive it if it doesn't change this time. And I think Lynn Bowden has to make big plays. At 12 catches, 168 yards, a touchdown over the last two games, he's got to be the best receiver on the field for either team, and I think he might be.
The success that Kentucky has had so far this season has gotten some notice. I saw Greg McElroy on Feinbaum's show, I think he used the word legitimate, referring to Kentucky's success. So I think they have certainly turned some heads. This is a huge opportunity, as I've said earlier this week. If you can get this game, and it's be very difficult, but if you could get it, you get ranked, you create more of a buzz, and all of that would have to, I think, be a huge boost in recruiting.
Oh, goodness, yeah. If they beat Mississippi State, they'll be in the top 20, and they'll probably have every halfway decent football player in the state of Kentucky in the stands at that South Carolina game the following week. I mean, that would be a monumental program-changing win, and everybody on College Game Day, everything would be talking about Kentucky football. I just wonder whether people are setting themselves up as putting too much into this game. I feel like they've already won the most important game on the schedule, and I'm not saying they ought to let their guard down and just, you know, be fat and happy with it, but I think the key is they got to win one of the next two for this to be the kind of season fans are hoping for.
No,
that's very doable.
Yeah, and the thing is, I was thinking, you know, reminds me at this juncture anyway, a little bit like 07, and that year they had a good start, threw in a clunker on a Thursday night, big stage down at South Carolina, but then came back and beat LSU and then had another opportunity for a breakthrough moment and couldn't quite get it against Florida. But the point is, in this league, it's not like you're only going to get one chance at a breakthrough moment in a season.
And you're right, absolutely. They're good enough to win this game. They're 11-point underdogs, but they were big underdogs at Florida. And, you know, this is a night game at Kentucky, big home field advantage, a quarterback who's playing at a high level, the best running back in program history, a great offensive line, and the most senior-laden defense that you're going to have. I mean, the circumstances are never going to conspire more in your favor for a big-time win than right now. And, you know, depth has sometimes tested Kentucky in the past. Well, their depth is better, and it's still early in the season. So a lot of things lead me to think that this could be an upset.
Wandale Robinson's an in-state guy that they're putting the full court press on. Says he's, from what I've read, going to decide in October. Hearing anything on his recruitment?
You know, coming off of his official visit to Nebraska a couple of weeks ago, I was just thinking Nebraska was like on the outside looking in. They didn't even play the game that weekend. It was canceled because of the weather. But he told Dave Lackford with Rivals that Nebraska was his favorite. Now, Robinson has sometimes had a tendency to like the school that he just visited the last. I still think he's going to end up at Kentucky. But I think he's a guy whose heartstrings are being kind of pulled in all kinds of different directions, and it might just be who impresses him last. Kentucky start, Purdue slow start, these are things that I think work in their favor. Nebraska slow start as well works in Kentucky's favor.
What about on the basketball recruiting front? David Sisk covers that for your site at catsillustrated.com. Cal's certainly been very busy of late. Any particularly interesting nuggets that you're getting from your guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously Kentucky offered Oscar Tshiebwe, and that's somebody that people on our site are just enamored with. Like, they love him, and I think, you know, he's somebody that everybody loves because he's a Bob Huggins-type player, and that makes sense because West Virginia is the other main school, but when you got that kind of talent and you're a Huggins-type player, it's easy to dream on you, and so a lot of people are talking about it at the site. They would be thrilled. We've been talking about Wiseman and Carey for so long. They would be thrilled if Tshiebwe was a part of the class.
Back to this game, and Terry Wilson through three games. Give me your take on how you're seeing him grow, and what kind of upside do you think is left to tap into for this season?
I think he's been fairly phenomenal. I mean, I think it's easy to understate. I think sometimes we want to tap the brakes, but this is a time when we shouldn't tap the brakes. You know, the numbers say he's 32 of 37 on short-range passes. He's 11 of 15 throwing against the blitz. He's been phenomenal as a scrambler when defenses have brought pressure. The only things he struggled with were turnovers in the first half of a couple of games, and I really only followed him for three of those five. And he's had a tendency to throw the deep ball a little bit too far. And I feel like just he's kind of been pulled in a couple of directions during camp. The coaches were saying just give the receivers a chance to make the play. And then if you watch the SEC film room, Mark Stoops was saying we'll keep it away from the defenders. So, you know, he's an inexperienced quarterback grappling with things, but he's exceeded all of my expectations for sure.
Justin Rowland, CatsIllustrated.com, at Rowland Rivals. Thank you much.
Thanks a lot.
Weekly Visits with Justin Rowland, presented by Shuffle Bean Coffee. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, and we will be right back. Tonight, a slice of Wildcat history. It was this day in 97 that the Deuce, Tim Couch, lit up Indiana with seven touchdown passes up in Bloomington. Happy birthdays to former basketball player Jerry Carter and former football player Jordan Allmiller, a couple of Kentuckians. TJ tweets in at Leach Report, do you think Benny Snell, how do you think he'll do against Mississippi State defense? Last year he was 7 carries, 18 yards. The previous year he had 128 yards. I think he'll be closer to the previous year. I think he will do well. How well is going to be a big part of whether or not Kentucky could win this game, I think. They've got to be able to get close to a draw or even win in the rushing yards stat, I think, to win this game. So I think Benny will have a good game, and we'll see it play out on Saturday night. Talk more about it tomorrow, too, on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs.
Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show, and be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on the Leach Report Radio Network.